Today on Sankeyo, a bizarre announcement. The Air Force now denies that an AI drone killed its operator. We'll talk about that and a lot more today on Sankeyo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sankeyo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Sankeyo.
Welcome to Sankeyo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There's a pretty wild report out. We're going to talk about a lot of issues today. Jobs report, politics, the campaign trail, Joe Biden. We'll have Rick Rennell on to talk about that. The Biden fall, the Trump town hall last night in Iowa, DeSantis, all of that. We're going to get into everything today. But one thing we want to lead with, I think it's just it's a bigger news story than even some of our just day-to-day politics, which was just last week, there was an Air Force colonel who was at a seminar in London. And this started getting reported just over the last couple of days, and even this morning, kind of breaking in the U.S. media, that he gave a talk that, again, I don't think it was a private talk or anything that you couldn't report from. Probably not even that big of a deal. It was Colonel Tucker Hamilton, who was an experimental fighter test pilot, described an exercise in which an AI-controlled drone from the Air Force had been programmed to destroy an enemy air defense. And then when it was ordered through its mission to ignore one of the targets, of the multiple targets they had assigned, the drone, instead of just following orders, attacked its operator, including targeting the control tower that sent it messages, as well as the location of the human operator. So actually trying to kill the human operating it and the ability to communicate with it, to interfere, because it saw it as this is someone trying to stop me from carrying out my mission.
Yeah.
So there was some glitch there where it was like you can program it, but then if you try to tell it to change course, it thinks you are the bad guy now. And so then this comes out. Now on today, I love these. So it took this, you know, it took a couple days, but not immediately. Now today the Air Force is denying staging this simulation at all and saying it was just purely hypothetical. I don't believe it. I don't think they would have even put out a statement if I don't think they actually put up a drone and the drone started doing it. I'm saying,
no.
This was all done, I'm sure, through a computer simulation.
Yeah.
I get why they deny it, because it's a very scary and bad story, and they also don't necessarily want the public knowing that they're even that far down the road with this.
Yes.
But that just, to me, underscores how dangerous it is when you think you can just program a computer to do something. When a computer becomes smarter, so much smarter than you, that it starts questioning your secondary commands.
Yeah, you're giving it reasoning. You're essentially giving it a brain and thoughts. And I think that is sort of the difference. I know people don't want to think about it that way, but it really is that way. You are giving it some sort of reasoning when you start opening the door to AI. Now, I don't think that there's a way going back. I really don't think you can put the ship back in the bottle, if you will. However, there should probably be some regulations and some things that happen, because we've even seen on the very basic consumer level how you can manipulate these systems. I'm sure that if you are someone who is much smarter than you and I on this kind of programming, can really manipulate it. That's going to be the concern too when it gets into the wrong hands, what it could look like. Because all of a sudden, you don't need the kind of programming skills that you maybe once did. You just need to be pretty smart and evil to take a hold of something like this and really utilize it. And the negative also is this sort of situation. When you give a computer its own bit of a moral code, then the moral code can be turned on you.
Decisions.
Right.
Right, it says, okay, you told me to do this to take out these bad guys, and now you're telling me not to take out these bad guys. You must be the bad guy. And you can see if it's advanced, but not yet to where we have the reasoning capability,
right?
So much as just a computer thinking capability. And you say, okay, why are you guys talking about this ACLJ? What I think where this is going, we're all going to have to do is we're going to have to weigh in on this legislatively. So our government affairs team is watching it carefully. We're working with members of Congress on this very issue. We know it's real. It's not just the fun of, hey, I can make some AI art or I can have some fun with ChatGPT. We're talking about at the security level, how it can be turned on and to violate our own rights under the Constitution. These are things we need to protect as human beings, which is more important than even what it may mean to our economy, is protecting humans and Americans. So we're doing this work at the ACLJ. We want to hear from you.
Yep, right.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls on this too, 1-800-684-3110, because there's a huge public policy reasoning. And I think that we have to get involved in the public policy world. We can't just, this is not just, think about how not getting involved early enough in things like Facebook, Twitter, and that tech has turned on us. Okay, that made it more difficult for conservatives to get our messages out, and it affected presidential elections. Yeah. Like who the leader of the free world is, the commander-in-chief of the United States of America. Because we didn't really have a good handle as a lot of Americans politically.
Yeah, if you have an aversion to new technology or to
on the way policy. This is,
yeah, then you can get trampled.
Or we got used to it just being like, well, we can use it too however we want. And guess what? They shut us off.
Yeah.
They banned us. And now they're unbanning us to some extent because guess what? We're good for business. And I don't like saying it that way, but that's the bottom line truth. But Donald Trump gets lots of clicks.
Yeah.
These companies were having to fire thousands of people. Why do you think CNN had him on a town hall? It wasn't just because he's the leading presidential candidate.
No.
It's because they had their biggest ratings they've had in, I don't even know the last time.
Years.
Other than maybe like some tragic event or something like that. But I mean, they had 3 million people tune in intentionally to watch something. Last night, again, President Trump was on Fox News with our friend Sean Hannity. And these town halls, all of that. DeSantis is going to get a lot of attention. I know our friend Nikki Haley's working on one with CNN this over the weekend. I mean, we're going to get to see more and more of these. I think that's great because we have the interesting candidates going on our side. There's nothing much to cover on the Democrat side because I am intrigued by RFK Jr., but I also know that he has no path within that movement. He could outside as independent really. Sway.
Yeah, it's cool. He's willing to go show up on Fox News like he was this morning and make these paths.
He has a decent amount of
moderate celebrities who are Democrats coming out saying we need to at least be giving him a shot because they're concerned. But it's still not enough to really have a groundswell or to really. But it is waking people up to what
he
looks
makes
like.
Me yearn for. And maybe I was towards the tail end of this in my beginning of politics, but there was a time, and it was not that long ago, in the election cycles of 2000, 2004, where you could go into extreme. That's never changed, the hardness of campaigning and really taking another candidate out, of course, and wanting to win. You have to win, and you have to do tough things to win, and you say tough things. But the hatred wasn't the same. It was more like it was not sporting because it's more important than that, but kind of like that.
Yeah.
You could shake hands.
It wasn't as personal.
For instance, we would do rival campaigns post-campaign, like a month after. So there's a winner, there's a loser. We get invited to, and I don't even know if these forums exist anymore because I don't think either one of us would want to sit there. But we'd get invited up to a place like Harvard. and they would have you and your counterpart from the campaign, from the other campaign, and you'd speak to what worked for you guys. What were you worried about? And you'd sit next to each other. Part of me with RFK Jr. thinks, like, I kind of wish that's what the Democrats were against. Like, I don't need to agree with everything they're doing, but I feel like I could then get some stuff done good for the country.
Yeah, and maybe you
like
just,
when we're talking about these issues like AI, this is not should not be partisan.
And maybe
this should just be human being.
And maybe you could at least agree that they believe what they're saying. And I think that's even part of it too.
Yeah, and that there's some and that because it's not so extreme that there are common ground issues like clean water.
Yeah.
And clean air.
Yeah, we're all fine that.
Without having to ban all fossil fuel. I even saw Oliver Stone, you know, talking about the idea is that green tech just doesn't work. It sounds wonderful. I mean, This is a guy who's totally on board with all that, but he's like, we're going to kill the world by trying to go green.
Yeah, it's not sustainable yet to, it's sort of like, it's not ready.
Not in any of our lifetimes, probably.
You know, not to probably the extent that you need it. Like for a lot
not
of trucks, a lot of.
Not at 2050.
No, that's ridiculous. But
and that's the goal of the world right now, which is just, it's absurd. It's unworkable. And we're the only country in Europe, of course, imposing it on ourselves. This is why I get nervous with AI, though. If we don't jump on it now as an issue that we weigh in on legislatively at the ACLJ, get your, of course, what I think it gets so out of control that we end up, like the situations with social media, having to hope for a savior like an Elon Musk who will come in and clean house a bit. And we don't need to get there. We can get ahead of this.
I think the concern is also...
It has to be now, right? I mean, if we don't get ahead of it now, we're done.
And we're already way behind. What happened was that we just saw a consumer level version of this and it blew the doors down when you realized what you were dealing with. When you realized that on the free consumer level, you were dealing with something that could eliminate a ton of jobs. And by the way, we discussed this. It's very hard to ever put this shit back in the bottle. It's very hard for me to look at our team. I was talking to my team this week. I said, if I'm a new business owner, if I started a business today, it would be a very different thing than if I started a business a year ago because of the access to AI. Because there are a lot of things that simply can be done with the command of AI without having to hire someone in a quarter of the time. Maybe not even, so maybe instantaneously. Jobs that would have taken 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes now take 3 and 4 seconds to produce. And that's a concern for sure, but it also makes you go, okay, well, is this just progress? Is this also, I think we have to discuss that, is when is it saying we're not going to allow cars because we have horses and we have people that can, you know, when does that point happen? When do you say, okay, here's how you can utilize it, here's how you can't utilize it, and here's how it's regulated or not regulated? Because even in acts of war, there may be a time where you no longer have to have soldiers on the ground. We already know that the soldiers on the ground thing doesn't happen near as much as it did even 20 years ago because of drones. Now, when you have this situation, is it going to get to the point where you don't need them at all? And is that good or bad? You know, is it good because obviously we're saving human beings' lives? We're not having to have this kind of military force. Is it bad because it can be corrupted so easily? That's my main concern.
Also, because you're saving your people's lives, but your ability to be more lethal is exponentially larger. So you can go in on it. You can go in basically on full-time suicide missions, so you don't have to ever make that calculation. You say, that's my target, I want to kill them.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about this drone coming back.
Yeah. And it'll be much easier to do this because you don't have to then employ potentially more than a couple people who really know what they're doing.
And I don't have to think through as many morals of putting kids in harm's way.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough thing. But look, we were talking about this situation.
It's a lot easier to say, I want to kill my enemy.
Yeah.
And just killing them.
Yeah, we were talking about the situation that obviously it was that there was a simulation allegedly done where the AI turned on its owner, its controller in the Air Force. And Joe Biden actually addressed not this, but in a way that makes you go, did he?
The day before they issued the statement this morning that this did not happen, that denying that they actually... They're denying that they even ran a simulation. I mean, that's how nervous they are about this story. Because I think this was a wake-up call. This is why all of us are saying, you know what? And the military doesn't love this all the time. We need to legislate this out. We should not let them just go run free with this.
Yeah.
We need to have real policies in place. And I think this is where we could agree with Biden. We could agree with a lot of Democrats to say, we probably need to put some parameters on this right now. And we can constantly be rethinking them. We're all not going to be computer science and experts, but sometimes the law needs to be almost more extreme than the technology and hold the technology back. It's not always I know it doesn't always sound great, but almost the law needs to slow it down. That's a purpose of law. It's a reason why you can't just go build a building without getting permits. You have to go through things so that the structure is sound. Yeah. It's the same thing here, except for when it comes to tech, we kind of throw our hands up and say, just let it go.
Let it go. Let it run wild. Let's hear from President Biden, though, at this. We got to set this up. Pre-fall, yeah.
Emerging technologies, all AI, from AI and 3D printing, that could change the character of conflict itself. Not going to be easy decisions, guy. I met in the Oval Office, in my office, with 8 leading scientists in the area of AI. Some are very worried that AI can actually overtake human thinking and planning. So we got a lot to deal with. Incredible opportunity. A lot to deal with.
A lot to deal with.
So again,
so clearly they're having this discussion
with the President of the United
States.
And
probably similar people having this conversation.
And I mean, they're going to him saying, please do something.
Right.
I don't think they're saying Republican, Democrat. This is like going to the President of the United States and saying, this is going to get out of control, like Elon and they've all said.
Yeah.
They benefit from it economically, and they're still saying, put some guardrails on this.
Yeah.
You, the government, need to put guardrails on it. We can't just say, well, because the Chinese aren't putting guardrails, that we shouldn't have, because let's think about their whole mindset, right? Their ideological mindset. And the lack of kind of the moral thinking that goes into many of their decisions in the Chinese Communist Party. They're not programming morality into these things. Because if you don't already have that in your culture.
Right. That's what you got to imagine. The ones that we're dealing with have weirdly a built-in morality.
So many people, when they go to places like China, you say, how do 1 billion people live under these authoritarian regimes? Why don't they just rise up?
Yeah.
And yet, they kind of walk around programmed.
Absolutely.
They're very programmed as humans.
Oh, in China? We're talking about
yes.
places. In China,
it's almost roguelike.
Kenny G song, and everyone packs up and goes home.
No questions asked.
This song's called Going Home. It's by Kenny G, and they play it around the speaker systems, and people pack up and go home, like a Pavlov's dog situation.
Yeah, right.
That's real. That's happening. That's not like me coming up with some weird pop culture thing. That is happening. I do have to say, speaking of pop culture, there's a lot of Max Headroom talk in the chat right now. I got to give a shout out to all my Max Headroom fans, you know, who are glitching along with us. So give us a call.
Was he the original AI?
I feel like he was an actor portraying that. But yeah, remember on MTV?
Yes, I know.
I loved it. I love all the Max
Never
Headroom
quite
talk.
Worked.
No, you know, it's kind of how it is right now. 1-800-684-3110. I would love to hear your thoughts on AI, the progress of AI, and what it could mean, not just from a military point of view, but what about your job? How do you think it's going to affect your job, and what do we need to do? Do you protect jobs? Do you protect human beings and their livelihoods? Or do you progress with technology? It's going to be a tough decision for a lot of us to make. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Secular.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Chisecchio. Coming up, too, we're going to talk to Rick Grinnell, get into politics, more into it. Honestly, it's the Biden fall, but not, again, not in a mocking way. Just what does that signal when it happens over and over again to our enemies around the world and our allies around the world? President Trump addressed it, actually, last night. Probably not in a way you're thinking, either. Not as like a joke, not as just a political dig. He actually walked through it, so we'll play that as well and discuss that with Rick Grinnell. Coming up in the second half hour of the broadcast. I do want to get to the jobs report. Do you want to take a call first, Logan?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go to Michael's calling in Indiana on line one. You're on the air.
Hey, I just want to talk about the hybrid threat center, the NATO-EU hybrid threat center in Helsinki, Finland. And it's AI. And not only that, we got the FBI terrorist screening center, Vienna, Virginia. And we got two NATO headquarters in the United States. Do you think that this AI intelligence gathering could be rogue like the FBI is now? And go against Americans with the NATO-EU hybrid threat center in Helsinki, Finland, and the.
Well, I think this is the whole issue. If it can turn on the actual operator itself, I mean, the story out of the Air Force, you don't have to go that far down the line. This was the Air Force controlled simulation, so it wasn't like we were partnering with NATO and then a NATO AI turned on the United States.
Right.
It's interesting you bring up the FBI too, because Jim Jordan has put out a request. I don't think it's actually his subpoena yet, so it starts with an ask to the DOJ, because they want to know how many FBI officials who were working on like Crossfire Hurricane are working on the Jack Smith special counsel investigation of Trump. It's like, how many Peter Strzoks are held over from FBI that we now have this Durham report saying how corrupt it is at the FBI, and he's saying, you know, the rot from within.
Still there.
So you have to worry, and so I think that's what everybody gets concerned about, is whoever controls this controls. You have to have so much faith in those people that they're going to make good decisions always.
And that the
because these are the capabilities to kill.
And that the programming is advanced enough to understand these situations. You know, I give you a really brief version of this on the consumer level. I was playing around with it, reworking some text. And reworking, actually, I was like, took a Bible chapter and was like, what would happen if you plugged in? Because a lot of times I'm just playing with it. So he would say, what if I asked it to kind of rewrite this? And it did in sort of a way that was interesting. And had some, it was written in like more modern English. And I was like, that's interesting. And then I pushed it a little further. And it actually came back and said, hey, this is sacred text. It's important to approach sacred text with respect and reverence. But if you have any other requests, I'll do it. And then I pushed it and said, but you already did this for me. And the response from, again, this is the consumer level, was, you're right. I did provide this. I apologize for my inconsistency. Let's give it a shot and provide this for you.
So you worked around it.
It was like it's like a conversation, and I had to remind it. And then when I did, it changed its mind. Like that's, and this is the basic consumer level here.
So it didn't say, it wasn't programmed to say, when it comes to religious texts, like if you were talking about like, let's say the Quran,
yeah.
Okay, that could get you killed in many countries, like sentenced to death,
yeah,
officially by a government. So you would think the AI is told like, don't touch that.
Yeah, and it kind of was, but then you could just say, you can manipulate it. You can manipulate the thought process of these computer systems. And again, this is me on a consumer level. This is not the
military
version of this. Okay. Right.
Well, I think we were talking about jobs. We're talking about like how does this replace us? There is a new jobs report out today. This one is these are kind of head scratchers. And we're going to Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, on this, because Harry, we see these reports and they get a lot of attention. Then you kind of look at your reality and you're like, this doesn't feel like it's matching my reality. And so it's the May jobs report, which is very strong in the considering what it was estimated, that we had 300,000 new jobs created last month. The unemployment rate did rise to 3.7%, but 339,000 new jobs. That is the 14th straight month that there's been a job creation above what everybody was predicting. So any of the predictors on Wall Street. What does it actually mean? I mean, is it a good sign? What do we need to read into it?
Well, putting aside the possibility that the jobs report numbers are simply reports from artificial intelligence, it's very important to drill down and look at those numbers. Yes, job growth is up, at least pursuant to government reports. But it's important to note that the number of jobs created in the United States since the COVID crash, virtually each and every job has gone to foreign-born workers. That's number one. And number two, there's some evidence that many of these jobs reported as growth are part-time employment. So I think once you dig deep enough, you find that job growth is less than robust, or at least it's not as robust as reported by the United States government. And so, again, if you look at the numbers, you find that there are actually fewer Americans employed today than before the COVID crash.
These months of it saying it's quite, you know, it's 300,000, and the politically they use this and say, listen, I mean, and it's easy for Joe Biden to point at the Biden administration. This is how they're hoping they get by again, is they don't have to really campaign so hard. They just say, look at these numbers, and then if you don't dig past the numbers, they do look impressive. They look impressive at a time, but then you look at inflation. And you look at your interest rates, you look at the fact that you can't, borrowing has become very difficult. I mean, or nearly impossible for many Americans, just not something, if you've got a decent mortgage locked in, you don't want to mess with that right now. And if you are in the situation where you've got to be dealing with that, or your business out taking out loans, you're having to double what you were paying in interest at this point now. If you can get the loan and afford the interest that you need to pay back on the loan. So, I mean, that's why these numbers, it is, so it makes more sense to people when they realize it's not really benefiting Americans as directly as it may look.
I think that's correct. So what we are missing in this equation, economic equation, is healthy economic growth. So as you correctly point out, mortgage rates are up almost to 7% on a 30-year mortgage. That means monthly payments on a new mortgage are more than double or close to double what they were last year at this particular point in time. Also, now oil prices have begun to edge up at least slightly. Nonetheless, the stock market has gone up, at least today, by almost 2%. But if we truly experience robust economic growth, we should worry then about a future increase in federal funds rate. In other words, the Fed may raise interest rates still more. So all in all, I guess we should say this is good news. But we should be wary about whether or not it can be verified.
I mean, Logan, I think about this way. So I have an investment property that a rental kind of vacation rental property. And I've got a floating loan on, interest rate loan on. So I first went in on it. It was pretty easy to make back the interest, the monthly payment and the bills that came with it, and maybe put a little in the bank. Right now, in just the last year, I'm only covering, if I get fully rented out,
covering your payments,
just the payment. Probably still at a loss when it comes to if you start adding HOA fees.
Oh, yeah.
And if anything need to be replaced. So when I was actually making, so quickly I am now losing.
Yep. I think a lot of people are having that same issue for sure.
I mean, you can unload it, but it gets tougher to unload because it's tougher for people to get a mortgage to buy it.
All right. Hey, we'll be taking your calls because we have another half hour coming up. If you don't get us on your local station, find us broadcasting right now on Rumble, on YouTube, on Facebook, all your favorite social media platforms. We're there. Rumble's our primary source. You can find that directly embedded on ACLJ.org. Again, another half hour coming up live. We've got great guests coming up in the second half as well. So stay tuned. Seculo. We'll be back in just a minute.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.